Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Week two of the opponent preview series finds us talking about the Missouri Tigers. Gerard Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. That's the Rivals affiliate covering the Tigers up there. Glad to have him back on the podcast. And Gerard, I mean, this is a team that's got expectations. There's no getting around that. You know, when you look at the SEC this year, people are going to tell you that they think Missouri can be a playoff team. So I'll ask you first, is that a fair expectation for this team?
Absolutely. It seems like that's what they're kind of gunning for as far as how they've treated this offseason and the pieces they've gotten. All the momentum that's built up over the past, 10 to 12 months, they kind of know, like, this is our window, per se. And this 12-team playoff, I mean, I guess it couldn't have happened at a better time, because I think they finished at 7th or 8th in the country or something like that, the win over Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. So there's a lot of momentum. So I think it's fair expectations, because those are the expectations it seems like they have for themselves.
When you talk about quarterbacks in the SEC, if you said, name some of the top ones, I feel like Brady Cook gets kind of lost in the mix there. He had a really good season a year ago. He's got a lot of experience. He's going to be one of the key quarterbacks in the conference this year. What's your expectation of him this season? How much better can he be in his third year at Mizzou?
There's still room for improvement, but it'd be hard to be better than he was last year. And that's not because, he can't do it. He just had a really good year. I mean, he didn't really turn over the ball. He had that streak. I think the conference record for most pass attempts without a interception. And that went from like week 8 or week 9 of 2022 to week 5 of last year. So it was a while he got better at that. Obviously not having a torn labrum in his throwing arm or throwing shoulder, that helps a lot. But he just started seeing the field so much better last year, and he started making the right plays, and he also got a lot of help from his offensive line and playmakers. So there's still room to improve, because I think this offense, even though they're losing Cody Schrader, who was a, All-American, I think this offense has room to grow, because they brought some talent in on the offensive line, but they've also retained a lot of pieces, and there's a lot of development going on. So I think he can get better, because, his supporting cast has gotten a little bit better. And you don't really say that too often for teams that are not, I guess, in the title pictures, mm-hmm. or haven't been in the title picture perennially, like an Alabama or something like that. You don't say that for teams like this, because a lot of people think it would be a one-off or something like that. But they've got the talent coming back.
You mentioned Cody Schrader, one of the best stories in college football last year. Came out of nowhere to be this dominant running back. Not necessarily at the running back position, but is there another Cody Schrader on this roster, a transfer that, kind of under the radar that could step up and be a superstar for this Missouri team?
Off the top of my head, I can't say necessarily in that sense, because when you start winning games and you start recruiting the way they're recruiting, and now they've got, four, they're beating out the likes of Alabama and Texas and Michigan's, or, some, not all, but some 4-star prospects, 5-star prospect every now and then. The players they're starting to get are a little bit better. Or at least, like with Cody Schrader, he was killing D2, but again, it was coming from a D2 school, and he started off as a walk-on. And I know you said not exactly like Cody Schrader, but that, I'm just saying overall, it feels like they're not going to get too many diamonds in the rough, because they're starting to get players you may have heard about, or, I know this recruit coming in and stuff like that, or I know that transfer or whatever. So I don't know if there's something like that, but as far as just a player that's like, they can be really well, the first thought comes to my mind, it's not a, stat productioning type position, but I think it's just on the offensive line, getting Caden Green from Oklahoma. Rivals has him as like a top 15 player in the transfer rankings. So, I mean, he can play guard. He played left guard last year as a freshman. He could also play left tackle, and then they brought in Marcus Ryan from SMU. So when I look at the team, I'm thinking about who can have the biggest impact. It's they're basically the left side of the line, because they're going to be replacing an All-American at left tackle, and then they'll be making an improvement at left guard. Even though Xavier Delgado had his best season last year, I think they got something cooking over there on the left side of the line.
I don't feel like Missouri's defense, got enough credit last season. They were really, really good outside of that game against LSU. which was just a crazy, you know, back and forth game. I know they lost a couple of key pieces from last season, but how good can that unit be in 2024?
It can still be pretty good. Losing DeMarcus Robinson, Ennis Raystraw, Chris Abersdray, and Tyron Hopper, that's four. Oh, Jalen Carlisle, that's five draft picks.
Yeah.
On defense, so that's going to be tough. I don't know right now if they've got a player. I don't know if they've got a player where you're just like, instantaneously, he is going to be the guy. And I'm trying to think off my head, just make sure I'm not missing nobody. But I don't know if there's one of those. I feel like it's going to be a good defense. It's going to be a lot of how do I put this? It's going to be a good defense. I just don't know if I can think of a player off the top. Like last year, kind of figured Darius Robinson, he was going to be like, there's the NFL guy. Same thing with KAD and Ennis Raystraw as cornerbacks. Those are NFL guys. Tyron Hopper, to a degree, that's an NFL guy. I can't think off the top of my head right now. But when we get into fall camp and the first couple games of the season, we'll see who those players may be. Drink has a couple of people in mind that he thinks it will step up, like Dre Norwood, who's been basically their CB3 the last couple of years. He thinks he's a, you know, all SEC type of talent. So if they continue with this development like they have the last couple of years, I think they can still be a really good defense this fall.
Is this Missouri team going to be 7-0 when they head to Tuscaloosa?
I got to think about the schedule. They definitely should be 4-0 when they face Texas A&M. Who is week six? I don't know if you have the schedule. I don't have the schedule.
I think it's Auburn, isn't it? It's UMass. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was UMass. Okay. Auburn. I think they probably should be 7-0. The trickiest game is that Texas A&M game, but every year Texas A&M is tricky. And I don't know if you've seen this, my editor gave, he compared NFL teams to college teams, and he made a great one for Texas A&M. And he said they're kind of like the Chargers. They've got a lot of that preseason hype, and some years you don't know if they're going to actually live up to that hype, or, you know, if it's a little bit under expectations. But they're always going to have the hype, and you're going to see, and you always kind of see why, because they bring in a lot of talented pieces. So that Texas A&M is going to be tricky. So definitely no lower than 6-1, but I think they can be 7-0 when they face Alabama.
Chargers have much better looking cheerleaders. I'll say that. this is the stretch for Missouri is obviously those back to back games with Alabama, and then they have the bye week, and then they have Oklahoma. That's what determines what Missouri is. Their final three games of the season: at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, and then Arkansas at home. Likely to be favored in all three of those games. Does that make that stretch a little more dangerous? Because it could be a situation where you think, okay, we got through the tough part and kind of can kind of cruise in. Is there a trap game potential in any of those three games?
Any SEC team or any SEC conference game can be a trap game. Especially when you look at their schedule, I think not even just those last three you named, but everything outside of Alabama, Oklahoma, and maybe to a degree Texas A&M feels like a trap game, because there's no LSU, no Tennessee, no Texas, no Georgia, no Ole Miss. You've basically avoided the gauntlet of SEC teams to usually get to a playoff. And now you don't have that for this year, and you don't have it for next year. So you can't afford to be losing games that you most likely should win. Alabama, Oklahoma, no one's really going, you know, blow a gasket over those losses, although I think they need at least one, because when your schedule sets up so nicely like Missouri's has, if you don't beat them, there could be an argument like you're 10-2, but you beat everybody you were supposed to beat. You didn't really beat one that people were wondering like, oh, can you really hang with such and such, you know what I mean? So I think all those games are trap games, but I think they need to win all those, and they needed to at least get one of Alabama or Oklahoma.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you a little bit on that one. Jarrod Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. Thanks so much for your time, man. We'll talk to you again in November.
Appreciate you, man.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.